Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I'm not going to be doling any deception out, but hopefully I can expose some as we continue to, look at the possible implications for the one world religion and the one world government, which we know will eventually come to this world because of God's word has made that clear to us, and the possible implications associated with the COVID-19 crisis. And, the Pope, of course, is back in the news again. He has recently come out in an article, actually from Fox News. Caleb Park is the associate editor over there who gives us this article, and I wanted to make some comments. The Pope's words on interfaith prayer against the coronavirus sparks controversy among Catholics. Pope Francis is being accused of blasphemy and sacrilege by some Catholics for participating in an interfaith prayer Thursday with Muslims, Jews, and Christians, calling on God to end the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, he's been involved with interfaith activities on many occasions, and, he's not the first one who's called upon God to end the coronavirus pandemic. In earlier episodes, podcasts, I had spoke to you about some of the false prophets and false teachers and the charismatic movement, Kenneth Copeland and others, who basically had just told us that it was all over. We could go home now, nothing to see here, because these prophets had assured us that they got the word from God, or they told God, or whatever the case. So in this case, we have Pope Francis, who is he's calling on God to end the coronavirus. And of course, he's joining together with infidels to make this happen. But anyway, when I say infidels, of course, the article mentions Christians. And of course, I use that term lightly, of course. But as we will look farther into this article, we'll see some interesting things. The Abu Dhabi-based multi-faith higher committee on human fraternity formed after the Pope's historic visit in 2019, and that's, again, one of the many interfaith activities he's been involved with. He went to the Arabian Peninsula. Its 9 members came up with the idea to pray, fast, and perform charitable works. Maybe there will be someone who will say, this is religious relativism. This is Pope Francis, of course. And it cannot be done. And I would say it's worse than that, but, it can be expected from this wolf in sheep's clothing. Francis said, but how can we not pray to the Father of us all? So, everybody, he's the Father of everybody. Doesn't matter what religion you follow, whatever, he's the Father of us all. Not true, according to God, only through Christ. But anyway, each one prays as they know how, as they are able to. We are not praying one against the other, one tradition against another, but as brothers. And I'd say, yes, brothers in false religion. Because as I mentioned, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one's in the family but by him, by Christ. And we are not all brothers. That's that's very easy to refute with Scripture. It says the multi-faith prayer upset many among the faithful. The only spiritual union that Christians recognize is the communion of the Holy Spirit with those baptized in the body of Christ, according to English deacon Nick Donnelly. And he told Church Militant, apparently this is a newsletter or a paper or whatever. And of course, that's a very accurate statement that he made there. He's asking us to unite ourselves on the level of spirit with those who worship idols and demons, or who venerate false prophets that deny the divinity of Christ. And of course, I would say, joining together with those who worship idols and demons, I'd say in the Pope's case, it takes one to know one. So Anyway, I digress, as I often do. Donnelly called His Holiness's actions appalling and wrote on Twitter that the committee is trying to create a false one-world religion. Ding, ding, ding. Yep, we have a winner here. Nick Donnelly is right on target, folks. Francis is doing his part in helping to bring this about, this one-world false religion. The traditionalist Catholic blog, Rorate Kali, mocked the Pope, Reuters reported, describing him as Francis's fast with idols and calling on the faithful to feast instead of fast on pork. Calling on the faithful to feast instead of fast on pork, which neither observant Muslims nor Jews eat. And so I might, you know, use the expression, Francis, chew the fat with the infidels. But anyway, priests John Stone and Dennis Michael Hand Sobrick tweeted, they know no allegiance whatsoever to the multi-faith committee. That's what these priests were saying, and I assume they were Catholic priests. But not all Catholics were upset. Many expressed their approval online, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints tweeted its support. Our hearts are joined with our brothers and sisters in the Muslim, Catholic, and other faith traditions. Well, now, isn't that interesting? And I've done podcasts in the past where I pointed out the unholy and uncomfortable and awkward alliance between Mormon Seventh-day Adventists and Catholics over social gospel, social justice type issues. But anyway, moving on. In his own tweet, Francis said, may God have mercy on us and put an end to this tragedy, this pandemic, as well as the pandemics of hunger, war, and children without an education. This we ask as brothers and sisters, everyone together. And he's obviously biblically ignorant concerning Bible prophecy as well as salvation, because we know that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars until Christ returns. And we know that salvation, as I mentioned, is only through John 14:6, through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. So I thought that was real interesting article. I wanted to share that with you. Now, there is a gentleman, Reverend Thomas Littleton, and he's written some very good information in the past, and I try to keep up with him. He has also an article I want to share, actually a couple articles. One is The Gospel Today, Christianity Today, Luzon, Target 4-Year-Old Children with False Christianity. It's from April 16th, 2020. Confirmed, Ed Stetzer and Tim Keller of the Gospel Coalition and Christianity Today work to indoctrinate children in the 414 window with United Nations Global Sustainable Development. The Christianity which finds compatibility with global sustainable development goals must embrace both the atheist and New Age universalism. Global spirituality must embrace the atheist New Age universalism, global spirituality of the United Nations, preached by the UN Prophet of Peace in the New Genesis. And I believe he's referring to the book written several years ago called New Genesis by Robert Mueller. Not to be confused with Robert Mueller, believe it or not, the first man, the first Robert, is even worse than the second. But anyway, this man, of course, was the Secretary General of the UN a few years back, and he wrote this book, New Genesis, very New Age. And the article here goes on to say, it must agree with global warming, overpopulation, be pro-LGBTQ rights, and pro-abortion. Such divergent faith must assume that the WHO and the Global Health Initiative, the CDC, and funding organizations like the Gates and Rockefeller Foundations all possess and support Christian values. So you must assume that. Well, that's beyond the imagination for our assumption, as far as I can see. This brand of Christian faith is good with Muslim expansion into the West and opens borders and open borders immigration policy, as well as a World Core curriculum in education and co-opting of historical sites and narratives by UNESCO, and more. Also, Lenin's idea of social justice is a biblical mandate to these devotees. In short, such Christianity is totally false and has no biblical basis whatsoever. Such is the progressive Christianity of the modern-day Lausanne movement and its 414 window focus on indoctrinating youths in a global goals justice to transform the world. U.S. leaders like Tim Keller and Ed Stetzer lead the way in promoting 414 window through the gospel window through the Gospel Coalition, Christianity Today, and a host of Lausanne-affiliated organizations. Note, wrapping SDG, or Sustainable Development Goals, and global demonic deceptions in Bible verses does not make them biblical. The devil himself was brazen enough to quote Scripture to the living Word of God. Of course, that was Jesus Christ when he tempted him. And, you know, I included this article, because I'm going to follow up in a minute with another article that is directly, of course, linked to the COVID-19. But I had some comments that I wanted to share here along these lines. You know, I tuned in, I had the radio on, and I just caught a snippet of a clip by Rush Limbaugh, conservative radio, and you know, the talk was about a conspiracy theory, and we've talked a little bit about conspiracy theories in the past, and the idea that you know, these globalists, these one world elitists who want to have this globalist one world government, you know, apparently they can't go to Mars. You know, a lot of these folks, of course, seriously wanted to go to Mars, and I suppose wanted to colonize it so they could get away from the riffraff down here on Earth. I'm not sure. But, you know, and I haven't followed that closely, but from what I understand, apparently that's just a no-go, you know, no matter how much money you've got. And so I believe Rush was, this was conveyed through a substitute guest on his program, but he played a little of the clip. And so, you know, the point is that they, you know, they need to remove a couple billion folks if they're going to have to stay down here on Earth. And, you know, the idea of the Gates vaccine comes to mind, etc. And, you know, we already know that globalists are very much behind abortion and homosexual marriage to help in the idea of population in control. You know, so why not vaccines that are potentially dangerous to others as well? We know that during the Great Tribulation that will come sometime, that God himself is going to kill billions of people who have rebelled ultimately and rejected the gospel salvation message, the fact that Christ shed his own blood and God gave his very best so that mankind could be redeemed and not pay for his own sins. For those who rebelled to the end, the judgments of God will come and billions will die. And in some cases, you know, he's going to use demons to do these, to allow these demons to do these kind of things. So, you know, maybe, and, you know, to me, it's not a stretch to think that maybe some of these globalists themselves might have a problem with a little infestation. And I'm not talking about the virus. You know, I'm talking about maybe some demonic infestation that would make it ethical to them to do anything to meet their globalist desires. Like I say, abortion and homosexual marriage, whatever, that's a couple of components to help. We already know that. But this, you know, this is a conspiracy theory. And like I said last week or the week before, I can't remember, you know, I don't believe in conspiracy theories unless it turns out they're true. And sometimes they are. So don't quote me on this one, but I thought that was interesting. I picked that up just the other day and thought I might share that. Now, getting back to Thomas Littleton, and the second article I wanted to share with you, this title is The End of Church as We Know It. While church doors are closed or limited to 10 people, the looming threat of government funding may prove deadly. This is from April 5th, so this is a while back. We know that in some states, churches and other things are opening. But anyway, Thomas Littleton is quite a thinker and thinks things through, and he has some ideas here, and I want to share these. just throw it out there, because I think he's a very credible source. He says, leaders of the Southern Baptist and the Gospel Coalition, I mentioned them earlier, of course, one of the founders, Tim Keller, of this awful group, among others, are encouraging, coaching, lobbying for churches to take the COVID-19 stimulus. This never before an unthinkable move will spell the end of church as we know it in America, as churches now become debtors or grant recipients of the government through the Small Business Administration. Now, he is quick to quote Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, and this is Jesus speaking, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he wants us to, he wants you to know that he's not claiming the end of church, period, because we know that the gates of hell will not prevail, and that a remnant church will always exist until the end, until the Lord takes his church home. But he goes on to say, but all is about to change in the institutional church in America. The church has enjoyed freedom and protections from government interference, state occupation and dictates, and any government involvement in the church affairs. This constitutional refuge is about to evaporate and everything turned on its head as the church and ministries become funded by the federal government stimulus in the form of a COVID bailout through the Small Business Administration. Please, no ultra-pious surrenders of personal rights and freedoms or theological and eschatological reasoning to avoid these deadly realities or to justify participation in the stimulus. Only two things are likely driving these decisions: fear and inability to trust the Lord at his word, and pragmatism, the lipstick on the kiss of death. We cannot defend stupidity with piety or theology. Apostasy is a biblical reality. He says, the foundation of the Lord stands sure, and Jesus will build his church, but individual churches and entire movements do go apostate, as the Lord himself warns repeatedly in the Gospels and in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Finally, he says, when church doors open, services resume, everything will have changed. If your church, or perhaps even worse, your pastor, decides for your church to take the stimulus bailout, your church will never be the same autonomous entity. It will be a debtor to the SBA, a federal government agency, and no different than any other business who owes money and compliance to and in the eyes of the government. You know, last week, I said I am not a doctor and I don't have medical, I don't have expertise in that whole field, nor am I a lawyer, and I can't judge Thomas Littleton's thoughts here, but I wanted to share them as interesting because of the times we live in, because of the perilous times that we live in, and because of the possible implications for one world religion and one world government associated with COVID-19. So I wanted to share that. I thought it was pertinent. Now, maybe a little encouraging word would be in order here. This is from Mike Gendron's newsletter. Mike Gendron is an evangelist, a ex-Catholic, and his newsletter is called Proclaiming the Gospel. And he has an encouragement from God's Word from Pastor Tom Pennington, who used to be the pastor of Countryside Bible Church. I called down there recently because I wanted to try to get some literature that I had gotten from there years ago when I went to the Evangelical and Catholics Together Movement conference that he had hosted there with some excellent speakers. And I found that he was no longer at the church, hadn't been there for many years. So I don't know if he's retired or whatever. But anyway, I had a terrific time when I was down there. And, in listening to these other speakers speaking out against the Evangelical and Catholics Together movement that was fresh at that time. Now, Pastor Pennington here gave us a most comforting and encouraging message from Psalm 91. And I don't know when this message was given, but thankful that Mike Gendron shared this. In the midst of all that is happening in the world, this is a message that will bless you and give you a greater hope and faith in God's sovereign control over all things. The crucial truths from Tom's message, In the Shadow of the Almighty, are listed below. Not a single danger can possibly threaten you if God has chosen to protect you from it. And that's from verses 1 and 10 of Psalm 91. And from verse 5, you do not need to live in fear. Another statement, if one of these dangers does bring you harm, it will only be because your Father, in his sovereign, good, and all-wise plan, has decided to allow it. And that's verses 14 and 15 from the Psalm 91. He will be with you in the middle of your trouble, verse 15. He will only allow the threat to go as far as he is determined and go and no farther. Verse 14 through 16. You know, I like the statement that pastors and preachers have said in the past that God, you know, no matter how hot it may seem or what's going on in the fiery trial, that God has his hand on the thermostat. And we have to remember that. We have to keep an eternal perspective and know that God is truly in control. Now, I'm leaving, of course, these verses for you to look up. I'm taking these snippets, these comments that that Mike Gendron has brought from this message from Tom Pennington. He will use that trial for your spiritual good and his glory, and that's from Romans 8:28. He will ultimately bring you through all the dangers of this life and usher you into his eternal glory, and that's verse 16. I thought that was very good, very encouraging, and Lord knows we need encouragement in these last days. Now, let's turn to another article. This is actually from March 31st, so even a little farther back. And you know, in a future podcast and podcasts, I'll be talking about some other polls and other things that have come up that give a little different viewpoints, because this does come from March 31st. But I wanted to share this as a way to introduce you to three what I would call wake-up call articles that we will be speaking from, and don't know how much time I'll have to get through this, so let's look at this article. This is from the Christian Post by Brandon Showalter. A record low number of Americans hold to a biblical worldview, survey says. Only 6% of Americans possess a biblical worldview, according to a new survey. The study, which was released last week out of the recently launched Cultural Research Center based at Arizona Christian University, is called the American Worldview Inventory. Approximately one-fifth of those who attend evangelical Protestant churches espouse a biblical worldview, as do one-sixth of those who attend charismatic or Pentecostal churches, 16%, the survey found. The numbers were much lower for those among mainline Protestant churches, and I believe that he probably means liberal, because I think that's, you know, when people talk about mainline Protestant churches, they're also often speaking about liberals, and that was 8%, and Catholics, 1%. Born-again Christians, a segment defined in part by their acceptance of scriptural exhortations regarding sin, grace, and salvation, were three times more likely than average to have a biblical worldview. However, the fact that not quite one out of five born-again adults holds a biblical worldview highlights the extensive decline of core Christian principles in America over the last several decades, the report said. A quarter century ago, we had as much as 12% of the adult population holding a biblical worldview. And this is, of course, talking about what is termed notional Christians, Americans who identify as Christians but do not profess to know Christ personally as Savior. Since that time, we have seen a steady reduction in the incidence. The current level, just 6%, which is literally half of the level when we started measuring this, is the lowest yet. I believe that's from George Barna. He added, if you truly believe something, you integrate it into how you live, and your lifestyle reflects those beliefs. As a result, our worldview research always balances examining both what we believe to be true with how we translate such beliefs into action. The societal shift towards non-Christian worldviews like postmodernism, Marxism, secular humanism, and modern mysticism is most clearly reflected in values, the report continues. Unless America experiences a steady increase in people reflecting a biblical worldview in their lives, America's future is more likely to resemble that of nations characterized by moral and behavioral chaos, commented Tracy Munsell, CCU Executive Director and Associate Professor of Political Science at Arizona Christian University. Alternative perspectives such as postmodernism, Marxism, and secular humanism drive American thinking and lifestyles these days. What we experience in our nation today will not change until we replace the cause of the prevalent thinking and behavior. The cause is our worldview. And now I have a few minutes left, so I'm going to jump into one of what I would call the wake-up call articles regarding this. This is from gotquestions.org. Why God would allow COVID-19? Why God would allow COVID-19? The whole world seems to be asking this question. A fact that actually gives the biggest part of the answer, a fact that actually gives the biggest part of the answer. More on that shortly. The Bible reveals some insights about God's use of deadly disasters in general, but we must apply relevant scripture and the principles of faith in order to gain wisdom about any specific disaster. As with any mystery, to solve it, we must go from the known to the unknown in our search. So we'll put the question of why God would allow COVID-19 into the context of what we already know from the Bible and from personal experience. We know this life is a gift from the Creator. We know that God alone has the right and power to give life and take it away according to His own wisdom and plans. We know that life is short and includes some degree of suffering, ending in death and judgment for how we lived our lives. Only one life with no do-overs, Hebrews 9:27. Short or long, our lifespan and date of death are set and controlled by God, Matthew 10:29. Even the longest human lives are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow, Psalm 144:4. So what is God's purpose in allowing COVID-19? Without being too dogmatic, we know that, generally speaking, one of God's purposes in trials is to get the world's attention off themselves and onto Him, their Creator and Savior, which is the biggest part of the answer to the question at hand. Why would God allow COVID-19? Millions are suddenly asking that question right now, believers and non-believers alike, which means that God is in their minds or on their minds. God desires for all people to earnestly seek Him and find Him, discovering that He is actually close to us. God desires us to sense our own weakness and neediness so that we put our trust in Him. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God desires people to fear Him with proper reverence and awe, to love Him more than their own lives, and to show love and gratitude for the Savior by loving and helping fellow humans, especially the suffering. God desires to shift our focus and affection away from this temporary, troubled world to our eternal heavenly home. Times of trouble are a prime motivation for us to store up treasures in heaven rather than cling to treasures on earth, and to be good stewards of those blessings God gives us in this life. God wants us to trust Him absolutely, knowing that our times are in His hand. And I love that verse, Psalm 31:15. My times are in His hand, folks. Our times are in His hands, those of us who know Him. Ultimately, it is the poor and hurting who seek God, not the rich and comfortable. It is danger and calamity that turn men to their Savior, not health and wealth. It is suffering that wakes us to our true need. Now, I didn't have time to give the scriptures all the scriptures that go with those comments, so you can find that article, as I say, at the gotquestions.org. The question is why God would allow COVID-19. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm all out of time. Please be with me next week. God bless. Good night.